Right, today's passage is in two parts. In the first scene, Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law who had been sick and bedridden. Being healed, she becomes someone who serves others. This story tells us that she, who had been taken care of, is now taking care of others. Upon hearing this news, people from the town gather and Jesus heals them as well. In the second scene, early the next morning, Jesus leaves the crowd and goes to a solitary place to pray alone. When the disciples come and say, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replies, "Let's head in the other direction." This expression shows how Jesus' ministry is spreading. Although he stays in Galilee for now, his travels will eventually take him into Gentile territory, showing that God's kingdom includes both Jewish and non-Jewish people. When you hear the stories of Jesus healing the sick and casting out demons, what thoughts come to your mind? Is this real? Did such miracles really happen? Right? We often find ourselves in the middle of doubt and faith. In those moments, you might think Pastor Kim would probably say, "You must believe without question." That's how miracles happen today. But that's not the case. My question about why there are so many such stories in the Bible led me to prepare today's message. To give an immediate answer, it's because of the worldview of that time. People interpreted events in the world, including disasters and diseases, through a supernatural lens. Supernatural lens. They believed that evil spirits intervened in people's lives to bring destruction. They viewed sickness as the possession of evil spirit. Thus, many stories in the Bible associate sickness with demonic possession. This may be hard to believe, but there are people who still think this way today. So if someone stumbles in the street, they think it's the work of demons. Some people even consider things like failing an exam or getting into a car accident to be tricks played by demons. It may sound unlikely, but such beliefs persist. I once visited a patient in the hospital with a church member. To my surprise, the church member bluntly told the patient, "What sin have you committed to be so sick? It's because of your sins that you are suffering from the devil's tricks. You need to repent." Doesn't a certain Bible story come to mind? Which book? Book of Job, yes. I consider preaching about Job when the opportunity arises, but there is a problem with that kind of faith. One of the main reasons why people with such beliefs hold on to their faith is for protection. They turn their faith into a shield against the tricks of the devil or against sickness. So every time they pray, they ask for protection from demons and sickness so that they can live a long and healthy life. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray for the sick. What is important is the intention behind the prayer. Again, I want to emphasize that demons were part of the worldview of that time. It may seem strange to us, but to the ancient people, it was a way to interpreting the world. It's similar to how we view the world today through the lens of science. The point is that the Bible is trying to tell us something through the perspective of that time. What is it? Through the stories of healing and casting out demons, the Bible is trying to reveal a fundamental aspect of Christianity. It is a confession that our lives belong to God. The owner of life is God. You may think that's just another cliched sermon, but consider this. We all tend to think that our lives are our own. We think that if we try hard enough, we can live a healthy and wonderful life. But that's a big misconception. No one can maintain his life entirely on his own. The daily activities of eating, sleeping, and taking care of bodily needs, we do them every day. But we only realize their true importance when we experience the pain of illness. Right? When we are healthy, we tend to forget their importance until illness reminds us. Our lives are not sustained solely by individual efforts to maintain good health, but are intricately connected to the order of creation. In this regard, life is a mystery. A divine mystery beyond our complete comprehension. The Bible says that this mystery of life is part of God's providence, affirming that God the Creator is the master of our lives. Jesus came to earth to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. However, many people who should live in the kingdom of God face the unfortunate reality of not being able to participate fully because of sickness and possession by evil spirits. Therefore, Jesus healed and delivered them so that they could fully engage in the kingdom of God. This was a true good news. Thus, the core of Jesus' ministry became a life-saving, life-giving ministry. Jesus restored people to new life so that they could fully enjoy and proclaim the kingdom of God. This is why he healed the sick and cast out evil spirits. So what are the sicknesses and evil spirits that entrap us today and prevent us from living the life of the kingdom? Evil spirits are the opposing forces to the Holy Spirit that disturb our peace, oppose love, cause division, oppression, and make life unbearable. The state of materialism, competition, and success-oriented mindset, along with the dissatisfaction caused by constant comparison, makes us anxious. As a result, we often feel a sense of emptiness and dissatisfaction. We feel like we are falling behind, and a corner of our heart always seems empty. As humans, we cannot completely escape this structure. But to be enslaved by it is undoubtedly a form of sickness, similar to being possessed by evil spirit. Sickness and evil spirits destroy our lives and communities. Since the pandemic, there has been an increase in online preaching. Many of you may be listening to sermons from pastors you follow. I'm not suggesting that you listen only to my sermons. Instead, I encourage you to listen to good sermons. Sermons that emphasize triumphalism, preach exclusive ideas that claim we are chosen, ignore social salvation while emphasizing only personal salvation, create fear by claiming the end is near, or promote success-oriented perspectives and not sound theology. Please be discerning in your choices. Jesus came to give life, the life of creation, the life of resurrection, the life of eternity. The life Jesus gives is a movement of life that allows us to live and share the life of the kingdom together. Of course, there are difficult times. During those times, I encourage you to worship, pray, sing, and reflect on the new life that Jesus has shown and taught us. The communion is also a wonderful means of grace. You don't have to be sinless to come to the table. It is a table of life open to all, whether you are sinners or saints. By partaking of the bread and juice that symbolize the life of Jesus, may you be freed from all the sicknesses and evil spirits that oppress you, and experience peace, joy, and love. Today we often hear the term well-being, right? Well-being. It is good to live a busy life, but we also need to live well. The words well and being are related. But think about it. People are more interested in well than in being. But being is necessary for well to be possible. Let's go back to the basics. God created us. Find the meaning of your existence in covenant with God, and in deep connection with others. I believe that's when our vitality of life will increase. And remember that Jesus was crucified on the cross for our well-being. Amen.